Luke chapter 10, I want us in this 10th chapter to look at verses 38 through 42. We're looking at five small verses, and in these verses we may find ourselves today. We're looking at the danger of spiritual distraction. We're going to find in the text that one of the characters mentioned gets very much distracted. And we're going to find out that to get distracted spiritually will cause you to end up somewhere you really didn't want to end up. And so it would behoove me and each of us to find out what does the text say. Because anything that the text says is better than anything else that the preacher might say. And that's a good place for an amen right there. Doesn't matter who the preacher is. Beginning in verse 38, let me read the passage. Now it came to pass as they went that he, that is Jesus, entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister named Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. This is, if I might insert, the Mary and Martha, the sisters of Lazarus. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. In this text, we come to that 40th verse that I just read, and the text of Scripture tells us that Martha was cumbered. It means she was distracted. And she had gotten off track. Did you ever get off track spiritually? Did you ever find yourself somewhere spiritually and you didn't intend to wind up there? And you may have even asked yourself, how in heaven's name did I get here? And it could be and probably was that you somewhere along the way got distracted. It's easy to get distracted, and even the writer of the New Testament in the book of Hebrews said that you and I ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest at any time we would let them slip. And in that passage of Hebrews, that is a mariner's term that had to do with a boat being tied up at dock. Lest at any time we would let them slip means they come untied, and those things that were once tied to us in understanding began to drift away. And when that happens, it's easy to find ourselves cumbered, if you will, please, distracted, because the things that keep us on course are no longer tied to us, and we are off track. And when we're off track, a lot of difficult and hurtful things can happen to each of us, can happen to those we love, can happen in our churches, can happen in our businesses, can happen in our communities. There's a bumper sticker that you may have seen through the years. I've seen it on a number of occasions that says, I'm too blessed to be stressed. Now, I wouldn't want that on my bumper. Because why are you wanting to put something on your bumper that you probably not going to live up to? And I know one man better than I know you guys, and he probably wouldn't live up to that because there are times, though blessed, he gets stressed. But with Martha, don't laugh at my wife. It'll encourage her, please. Make me want to start talking about what are the sources of some of my stress. I didn't want to go there, but the invitation was granted, so I thought I'd just follow up on it. But anyway, with that said, folks, isn't it good to be saved? Listen, I wouldn't say of Martha she was too blessed to be stressed, because what we find in the text, Martha was too busy to be blessed. Now, folks, we could probably, on that statement, let me speak about 2 minutes and give an altar call, and most of us would need to come and get in the altar, and I'll repeat the statement, too busy to be blessed. One of the words that we don't know anything about, at least as Baptists, because I know more about Baptists than I do any other group of Christian people, we don't know how to say no to nothing. And so before you know it, we're so busy. Here's what we would never say, but here's how it comes off. Hey, Lord, I love you, and I'd sure like to, but I got so much going on right now, I just don't have time for you. You say, Pastor, I would never say that. No, nor would I. But that's what it looks like in many of us because we are so busy, we're too busy to be blessed. And that's the summation of what our Lord wants to talk to us about out of this text today, the danger of being so busy you can't be blessed. You have come to the place that you are cumbered. You are distracted. You've gotten off track. So let's see what are the dangers. Number one, danger number one, if you keep notes, spiritual distraction will change your focus. Look at verse 38. It came to pass as they went, and he went to this village, this woman named Martha received him into her house. I'll just remind you that Scripture says that Jesus didn't have anywhere to lay his head. But if you study his life in the New Testament, it would appear if there was one home that he felt was his home, it would be the home of Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. And he goes to her home, and with her sister named Mary in verse 39, who sat at Jesus' feet, notice that in the first phrase of 40, but Martha was cumbered about, the two words now, much serving. Distraction will change your focus, and all of a sudden, she has been swallowed up in her much serving. I don't think it was premeditated. I don't think she said, you know what, I've done a lot for Jesus, but today I'm going to get involved in service and I'm going to get myself in a tizzy. Do you know what a tizzy is? Baptists are good at tizzies. And she's in a tizzy. We are to give ourselves in service. Don't let me mistake anything here. We are to give ourselves in service to God. But we must take in something and receive something if we're going to have something to give out. And if you go, and I don't even want to run the litany. One of the reasons we try our best to do all of church on Sunday and Wednesday, it's not good for families to be at church Sunday and Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday, and then the preacher being a meltdown Sunday because half of you didn't come to most of what was done. Well, we're not called to make a monastery out of the church, and we're going to not go anywhere and do anything and not eat very much, and we're just going to come here and stay. That's not the purpose of the work of God's kingdom. We have been told to leave church work and go out there and do the work of the church. And so we are to give ourselves in service, but you can't give what you've not taken in. And that's why, folks, coming to take in something is so crucial. Even though in this hour, and I don't want to get off track myself, there's all manner of indications that church attendance is way, 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 way down on the list in Western culture now. So we got to take in something in order to be able to give something. And if we don't, let me tell you what happens to us. We get to where our focus, are you listening, is on the project and not on the person. What was Mary's problem? Martha was cumbered about with much serving. And her problem was she's got her focus on the project. I'm trying to get something done. And she has lost the person as far as the focus of the moment. So it's changed the focus. She's got her focus on the problem and not on the privilege. See, when your service gets to the place that you grumble about it and you're no longer feeling the privilege of doing something for the Lord God, I don't want to tell you to quit what you're doing. You've already quit doing it and you don't realize it. because what you're doing is of no value. Folks, reckon how many people Jesus says, I'd sure like for all y'all to come and serve me and gripe and bellyache about it all the time. Well, I don't know if any of you want people to come serve you and gripe and bellyache about it all the time. We don't like that. You get to the place when you are off track that your focus is on the pain and not the pleasure. And that's where she was. So it changes your focus. Don't answer publicly, but did God just say anything to any of you? Number two, spiritual distraction will cloud your attention. Look at verse 40, the latter part of it. After it says that Martha was cumbered with much serving, notice what she said. She came to him. Martha goes to Jesus and says, Lord, do you not care anything about that my sister's left me doing all the serving? Why don't you tell her to come help me? Now, she supposedly is doing what she's doing to be sure that Jesus is welcome in her house, but her distraction has changed now her attention and no longer is making Jesus welcome. She's now complaining about his carelessness. Folks, in that text, she just called him on the carpet. Look back at the text. Lord, do you not care anything about my sister's left me to serve alone? Does that not mean anything to you? Folks, I'd think twice, I believe, before I called Jesus on the carpet. Now, let me tell you something about her complaining. Look at the text and don't take my word for it. Her complaining dishonored Jesus. Her complaining divided her family. You don't think Mary stood at that point and applauded her, do you? She's getting on her case, too. Her complaint discredited her sister's devotion. What I'm doing is more important than what you're doing, so she's discrediting what Mary's doing. And her complaint dignified herself. Look at me. Lord, I can't believe that you see me doing this by myself and you won't say something to my sister. You know what you'd want to say it is, and he wouldn't do that. The gall of you. You'd think he might want to have said what God himself said to Job. Where were you when I formed the foundations of the earth? Who are you to call me on the carpet? You see, folks, selfish service, and that's what she had become, losing her focus. It changed her attention to herself. Selfish service loses sight of the team objective. You see, if you look at that, you'd think, well, Mary was there to be sure Jesus was well served, and Martha was there to be sure. But right now, the one that's really upset with everything is Martha. So selfish pity accuses others, just like Martha's accusing Mary. And selfish spirit will criticize other people. Are you listening? Even God. She did it in the text. Jesus is God, and she even criticized him. Now, folks, the next time that Brother Wayne gets a little angry or critical, it would do well for him to ask this question, who am I angry at or who am I critical of? Let me tell you why. I've asked people through the years as a pastor when they would be so full of anger, and they would say that to me on a private time of talking to their pastor. Pastor, I'm just an angry person. And I would say, may I ask you a question? Who are you angry at? And to shock you how many times people would say, I don't really know. Folks, the times you and I are angry and we're not sure who we're angry at, most of the time, now you check this out in the days and weeks to come, most of the time we're angry at God. Because my plans didn't work out like I wanted. This is not for mercy or anything. It could even be humorous, though I think it's too serious to be humorous. You want to know why sometimes a pastor gets his elbows and other parts of his anatomy gnawed off? Because people are mad at God and they see a pastor as the closest thing they can put their hands on to God. So I'm going to eat you out. Selfish pity not only accuses others, but it criticizes others, as I've mentioned, even God. Spiritual distraction will cloud your attention. Thirdly, In verse 41, spiritual distraction will complicate every area of your life. Look at verse 41. Jesus told her this truth. It first of all should tell us something that Jesus said, Martha, Martha. You all don't think when he called her name twice he was just stuttering, do you? The very fact he would call her name twice. Did your mother or daddy ever call your middle name? Why did they call your middle name? Because a little bit of consternation. Most of the time it meant something like this. You knew better than to say what you just said or do what you just did. That's generally why you got both names. And he says, Martha, Martha, look at it. Thou art careful. Now the word careful means you're anxious. Means you're nervous. And troubled. That means you're disturbed. And folks, we are disturbed and lack peace in moments like that. Thou art careful and troubled about many things. You know what? If I took what Jesus said to her right then and put it in South Georgia language, you know what Jesus just said? Martha, you not only got your undershirt in a wad because of your sister, you got your shirt in a wad over a number of things. And I did say shirt. Now, it's complicated various areas of her life. What happens? Well, your spirit gets altered. You don't have the right spirit. Your mind gets divided because you can't do what you're doing for thinking about what somebody else isn't doing that you wish they were doing. And I'm over here serving my backside off, and what's Mary doing but sitting over at his feet? What she's doing, she needs to get with it as though she wasn't with it. Your decisions in that moment are very unstable. Why? Because you're off track. Your life becomes inconsistent. I'm trying to serve God over here, but I'm acting like somebody that don't know much about God over here. I'm sure that's never been the case in the life of Brother Wayne or any of you. See, in moments like this, none of us say amen. We say, oh, me. Why? Because the Spirit of God reads our mail. And every decision, are you listening? Every decision becomes a potential, I didn't say it would be, a potential disaster. Why? Folks, if you're wanting to go north, I mean true north, and the compass is not reading true north, how long can you go that other direction and finally end up north? The farther you go, the more off base you are. And that's why spiritual distraction is so, so costly and so dangerous. It will absolutely complicate every area of your life. That's why you have we as parents. I didn't say you. I said we. One week, boy, we're not going to have that. And we give the kids a good lecture. And we put them on whatever we do for discipline in terms of holding something from them or that sort of thing. And then next week, we let them, well, just this one time. My Lord, it hadn't been 10 days ago. We had us a major meltdown over this, and we poured concrete and said, this will never be, but now right now it is. What's wrong there? A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways, and anybody that's off track is unstable. You all know that when a train leaves the track, even if it's at a slow rate of speed, they stop the train. Why? Because disaster is awaiting. So distraction complicates every area of your life. Finally, verse 42, spiritual distraction will corrupt without correction. Look at verse 42. Jesus said, one thing is needful. The word needful means required. There's one thing required. He said, Mary has chosen that good part. Now, the key word there is you're going to have to correct it by choosing the good part. The good means the beneficial, means the thing that you know fits the spirit and the attitude and the action and the disposition that Christ has told us about. Now, sometimes we do things and we truly didn't know, but more times than not, we get off track because we thought this one time it won't make any difference. How many times has a young adult said, "Pastor, my life has ended up somewhere it didn't need to be because back when I was 16 or 17, I was off with a group of people. They were good folks. Most of them attended our church, and they had some alcohol or they had some marijuana or they had this, and they told me one time wouldn't hurt." You know, the devil tells a portion of truth in order to put forth his big lie. You see, folks, it's generally not the first time, but here's the problem. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 500, okay? But there'll never be 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 if there's not a 1. And the Bible says that when Wayne Robertson knows to do right and he doesn't do it for him, that is, three-letter word, sin. When the Lord has taught us something is right, it's always right. If it's wrong, it's always wrong. And if he's taught me that it's wrong, there's never a place that... Wayne, I'm going to write you several passes, and I'm going to give you in a lifetime just 10 of them. I gave you 10 commandments. I'm going to give you 10 passes. Now, in case you're asleep and wake up in the middle of this, the Lord doesn't do that. This is illustration only, okay? God doesn't say, "Wayne, I'm going to give you 10 passes, and you can choose when you're going to use these. And even though you know something's wrong, if you'll use that pass, I'll not count it against you. There'll be no repercussions of it. There'll be no fallout from it." Every decision has a consequence. I have the freedom to make the decision. That's why he said choose. But I don't have anything to say about the consequence. Now, he says, you got to choose that good part, that beneficial portion. Now, how are we going to choose it? Well, we're going to choose it with the written word of God. That's why you have a Bible. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, which means teaching, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, so that the man or woman of God can be, King James Bible says perfect, means complete, throughly furnished under, through and through furnished unto all good works. This Bible is alive and sharper than a two-edged sword. Think about a two-edged sword. It will pierce to the dividing asunder of what is soul, that's your personality and your likes and your dislikes, what is spirit, that's the inner man, and of the joints and marrow of what's body. Some things that's going on in us that's not good are physiological, their body. Some things that's going on in us is a bad spirit. Some things is in our personality. And this two-edged sword pierces and divides all of that and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. When I get in the book starts getting into me and reads my mail. And read yours. And that two-edged sword does exactly this. The world is a wilderness. And there are times we wonder how to walk and where to walk. And the two-edged sword, the Word of God, falls in this direction and cuts a swath showing me where to walk. But when I don't walk as I know to walk, that two-edged sword falls back this way and it cuts and convicts me. Wayne, the reason that messed up is because you violated what you knew that I could not bless. You're off track. So the danger of spiritual distraction, as I conclude, is that we correct it with the written word of God, with prayer, and with a focus on the Holy Spirit who is the only one that can give you enablement. Now listen carefully. Again, don't wake up in the middle of this. Jesus has nothing to do for you or with you except through the person of the Holy Spirit. Why? He's gone back to the Father. I don't know if you've checked lately, but they hadn't found him walking around town. The Jesus that lives in a body is not here, but he ascended and sent the Holy Spirit, and anything Jesus wants to do with you or me, he will do in the person of the Holy Spirit, and it is the Holy Spirit that will equip you and give you enablements to face things, do things, and become something that you cannot face, do, and become on your own. So distraction will destroy your motivation. It will destroy your effectiveness, and there won't be any fruitfulness. But praise God, if you will choose the right part and get back on track, God has a future for every one of you here today. Did you know that's good news? God can use me the rest of my life if I will get on track and not be cumbered with all the things. Are you listening? All the things that about 15 seconds after I've drawn my last breath want to amount to a hill of beans. We are so many times messed up. This is huge. This is important. Let me tell you what's huge and important. Things that when you've drawn your last breath are still going to count. No wonder to me that Bill Sturm said the biggest gamblers in America are not at Las Vegas. They sit in Baptist churches and know that eternal matters must be dealt with, and they gamble on whether or not they're going to have time and a place to deal with it and put off doing what they will regret for eternity if they don't do it while they can. That's why the Bible says today's the day of salvation and now is the accepted time. Are you prepared to meet your God? I read something, and I don't but think this is critical. I just read it because I'm not saying there was anything wrong with this, but I thought, Wayne, that's a telling thing. I told the church the other day that when you get up my age, you start reading the obituaries every day, see if your name's in there. And it's kind of interesting, you know, what's in today's obituaries. I've watched them change dramatically in my lifetime. And it's not uncommon to say, in keeping with these witches, we're going to either cremate or bury and no service, you know, something like that. But I noticed in this particular obituary, it said his happy place was the ocean. Folks, I'm not opposed to the ocean. I'm not opposed to it being your happy place. But let me ask you something. It's what the Spirit of God put in my heart. Wayne, what is your happy place? What are your children and grandchildren going to say? I tell you what, my old daddy and my old mama, my granddaddy and my grandmama, they were their happiest when I've been to the ocean a number of times, may go back sometime, but let me tell you something. It ain't in the top 10. And I like the mountains. And I may go back, but it ain't in the top 10. So what's your happy place? If some people are no more happy with heaven, if they get there, they say they are, than they are with the things of God on earth while they're here, they'll be petitioning Jesus if they move their membership after they get there. I'd be careful of that. There ain't but one other place to move your membership. I don't think you want to go there. The air conditioner does not work. So, spiritual distraction. Our Father, on this Lord's Day morning, we are going to do our best to bow before you, to ask again your forgiveness for the places and times, many they are, countless they are, when we have been selfish. Lord, today we've not thrown stones at Martha. We've just been amazed how much Martha looks like us at times. And we take seriously what you said to Martha and what you say to people like us, that we need to choose the beneficial part. So today, may God the Holy Spirit lead us to willfully change, to make the decision, to do the choosing that you hold us accountable to do, so that one of these days when we stand in your presence, we will be so very grateful that we did what we did while we had time to do it. Give us a fresh resolve, O God, for whatever days any and all of us have remaining, be they few or be they many, may we live the rest of our days as devotedly as we know how for you, and do everything we can with the influence you give us to advance your kingdom's purpose through your church on this planet. Thank you for your son today. Lord, we probably don't love him like we should, but we sure do love him, and hopefully love him more than we ever have. May our love for him grow, and your love for us can't grow because you loved us by sending him to die on a cross. You loved us with your son through a cross. May we love him back in return by bearing our cross. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Brother David leads us. Would you stand? This is our hymn of commitment.